Thank you for taking a ride on the Freedom Train, your community resource podcast series. I am Joseph Ward, and as always, riding with me, Mr. Patrick Irvin and Mr. Jamie Bashan. The Freedom Train is brought to you by PAX Inc. That's PACTSINC. And PAX Inc. is a black advocacy organization aimed at developing the black community to its maximum potential through a focus on economics and education with the traits of hard work, honesty, and integrity. So for more information, make sure you visit www.pacts.org. Also, while you're online, make sure you visit our Freedom Train website at www.freedomtrainradio.com. Follow the Freedom Train on Twitter and Instagram at _ Freedom Train. Like our Freedom Train Facebook page. And last but not least, for the convenience, you know, go ahead and subscribe to the Freedom Train on iTunes and in the Google Play Store. And when the Freedom Train is posted live, come straight to your phone and you miss nothing. Pat, Jamie,
what up?
What it is?
No, me, man. Jumping out these windows. What's good, everybody?
Hey, man, just make sure you're on the first floor. That's it. Just be on the first floor. Other than that, you might sprain your ankle and you can't run no more. So.
Hey, man, that's what these privacy gates are for. You know how I get down.
Hey, man, you know.
What's but, good, Pat?
Hey, man, you know, hey, check this out, though. Today is February 7th, and every February 7th is National Black HIV/AIDS Awareness Day. And all across the country, National Black HIV/AIDS Awareness Day is actually being celebrated all week. So no matter where you are in the country, make sure you go out and get you some information, get you some condoms, get tested, get all your information together, take your partners, get tested, go grab 10 of your friends, get tested, make sure you know your status, make sure you get some real information, learn how to put these condoms on correctly, all the things that you need, because you know, HIV/AIDS is something that affects the black community more than any other group of people in the United States. And today is the day to, you know, kind of not just bring awareness, but bring information, education, and prevention. So make sure y'all do that all week long. Go to your local health departments or your local community-based organizations and get your information, get tested. Going down.
Yep. Grab your wife, grab your spouse, grab your kids, go get tested. B.
There you go. So, today on the train, right?
Hold on, Joe. Hold on. I got a question.
Go ahead.
So, if a husband and spouse show up to get tested,
mm-hmm.
and somebody tests positive and somebody tests negative, how y'all handle that?
Well, it depends on the state. It depends on the county. It depends on the actual testing practices that are being handled. I know here in the state of Florida, we have something called couples testing, and it's a special type of testing that's not that different. The only thing really different is the form and the statutes that govern the form. But in a traditional setting in the state of Florida, you can't test two people at the same time. But with this new couples testing thing, you can test two people at the same time, especially a couple who signed up on this form. So if one does is tested, let's say one comes out positive, one comes out negative, then we go to what we call test and treat and preventative methods to be able to put the you want to get the positive person into care and get them on the meds that they would need, and you would want to put the negative person on what we call the PrEP, which is pre-exposure prophylactics, which will be like their drug that they would take that would help to stop the transmission of HIV from the positive partner to the negative partner. But, you know, condom use will still be encouraged, but those will be the steps to take if you do test a couple at the same time and one does come out positive. And then also following that, you know, with resources that the couple would need to move forward and try to be as healthy and happy as possible.
Are y'all trained in self-defense?
Nah, we trained in running.
Okay.
Now, we sit close to the door. That's why I tell them, when we train them, you sit, you know, put like the table between you, sit close to the exit, and if you need to get up out of there, get out of there. All
right. So, how's that car?
It's all good. It's all good. It's all good. So, like I was saying, today we talking about something that's very, very, very important to our community, something that's very needed in our community. We got a special guest. She's teaching the young ladies how to go from girls to divas through her mentorship program. See how I did that? See how I laid that out? So we have Miss Janae White on the Freedom Train. Y'all make sure y'all give up for Mr. Nate White on the Freedom Train. How you doing today, Janae? How you doing? How you doing?
Hey, Freedom Train.
Yeah.
Hey. What's up?
It just came to me where I know Janae from.
Well.
Where?
Tally for Flint.
Yes. We did
was
help
in
out
the little
with
chat
that.
Groups together trying to organize that thing, B. Yo!
Okay. Okay. Yes.
My screen, though.
Hey, he put his high voice on.
He did.
Hey, man. Yes. So.
Yo, you ain't even put it together for me.
I didn't even put it together in my head, so. Hey, man, kudos. 2 points for you, Pat.
That's right.
There you
put
go.
It together. I rock.
You made it happen. You did.
Nah, don't boost them up like that.
Gas me up. I've been on me all day.
Guess he going to go, and it's going to be crazy. See? So, Girls to Diva Mentoring Program, the founder, the mastermind behind the whole project is here, Ms. Janae White. And let's go ahead and get right into it. And you know how we do. Pat, you got the first question. Jamie, you follow up. So let's do this. Pat, what you got on your brain, man?
Why Diva? What made
Diva.
You say, I want to take a bunch of little girls and turn them into Diva?
Diva.
Why Divas? That's
you
a
better
very
put that
question,
ass on
so. Divas, correct. So, actually, when I came up with the name Girls to Divas, I just thought it was cute. I didn't really put much behind it until I was in Southwood, and we had the girls out there trying to get some money, you know, people driving by. We're doing our thing, asking the community to help us. This lady, I'll just call her Lady. This lady, she rolls down her window and she says, it's not becoming of girls to be divas. They shouldn't aspire to be divas. What's a diva? That's nothing positive. So she was just going on and on and on and on, and she did not give us a dollar. Oh. So after encountering that, I was just like, well, you know, I want people to really understand when they see Girls to Divas exactly what it means. So now Divas is an acronym. It stands for Driven, Initiative, Virtuous, Astounding, and Successful. So that's what Divas mean.
Yeah,
that
lady.
Right.
So yeah, trying, lady. So you trying to roll up. That lady was straight set tripping.
So she flipping.
It ain't even
I
about
got
the name.
You, I got
it's
you.
About what we doing. You feel
right.
me?
Right.
I got you.
Right.
You taking a word,
up on a,
a word that's normally has a negative connotation to it, and you flipping it and making it something positive, and that happened because this lady rolled up, and she was acting like a B.A. diva, but you was like, nah, see, we're going to change this. I'm there with you. I feel you.
Hey.
Okay.
Hey.
And it's not really that negative, diva, but, I mean, hey.
Yeah. It's not, but you know, it is, but it's not, but it is, it's not. If you're not in that spot, then it's negative, but if you're in that spot, you know.
You know what, yeah. No,
it
don't even
ask.
Matter, because you got your own definition for it, so.
Right.
You know.
Right up.
I mean, let's be honest, when most people think of a diva, you thinking of Mariah Carey, and she batshit crazy. So I get why people got a negative connotation on it, but.
And you know what? I was thinking of Mariah, too. I was thinking about Mariah, too, so.
Well, Beyonce said a diva is a female version of a hustler.
Did she just quote Beyonce?
That's the first. I don't think anybody on the show quoted Beyonce before.
Hey, man, that's history. That's history.
All right. So I got the second question. All right. So you graduated from FAMU, one time for FAMU.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man. You know it.
FAMU.
Okay. We taking it too far. All right.
FAM.
So.
Got
So you graduated from FAMU with a degree in social work. What really made you want to, you know, specialize your education in social work? Was your goal to be a community leader, you know, kind of doing what you are now? Is it just something you thought about and you just went ahead and seen it through? You know, what really motivated you to go out and get that degree in social work and continue into it?
Well, I didn't really want to come to college when I was, you know, getting ready to prepare myself for college, 17 years old. I wanted to dance and go to New York and do Alvin Ailey. But my aunt told me, you know, what happens if you sprain your ankle? Then what are you going to do? You can't dance anymore. So she was just like, you need to go to college. You need to have something to fall back on. So I was just like, okay, well, then I guess I'll go to college. And I didn't know what I wanted to major in. My aunt's a pharmacist, so I was just like, okay, I guess I'll be a pharmacist. But I didn't have the best grades coming out of high school. You have to have a crazy GPA to get into the pharmacy program at FAMU. Shout out to the pharmacists out there that graduated from FAM.
All right.
But they do have a program whose curriculum is identical to pharmacy for the first few years, which was food science. So I did food science for about 3 years. And I decided to take an elective outside of food science, and I took an elective under social work, which was social work and African-American families. And after that class, I fell in love with social work, and I changed my major. And the rest is history. Like, now I love everything about working with people, helping people, uplifting them, and you know, making sure that they're okay and making sure that they're getting the services that they need so that they could be self-sufficient. That's how I ended up choosing the social work world.
And you know what's beautiful about that? People that go into social work, you know that they're doing it for the love.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and that's a beautiful thing. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
You walk into a field solely because of your love for people and your connection and your desire to want to do, you know, do your part in the world. And I've always been kind of an admirer of people that graduate or get a degree or focus on social work or social studies, because there is, you know, that's not like a high-paying field. So if you're going into there, mm-hmm. it's got to be for the love.
Right. And what I didn't mention is that class, social work and African American families, it touched me so much because every word, every page, it was just jumping out at me, and it was just like, this is my story, like, this is my family. So it was just like, dang, is this actually a field that you can go into and work? So I signed up.
Okay. www.girls2divas.org. Make sure you visit www.girls2divas.org. All right. So I want to back up a little bit in the question, because I want to ask this one, because this one, you know, you creating a mentoring program called Girls to Divas, and you gave us the definition of your definition of what the divas are within your program, but what makes Jhené White a diva? What attributes do you have? What do you bring to the table that make you the diva that's able to help create other divas?
I mean, I was born this way. No,
Just kidding.
What makes me a diva? I am a role model. I'm positive. I walk with my head held high. I do what I want to do and how I want to do it. I chase after my dreams, and I don't allow anyone to tell me no. I don't take no for an answer. I'm a diva and driven. I'm driven. I take the initiative. I'm virtuous, astounding, and I'm successful.
And my version. Born like that. There you go.
And, of course, I was born this way.
There you go. Ain't nothing wrong with it. Say it and say it loud. So, that's what's up.
I'm a diva. She's a diva, and she proud. Can guys be divas? I'm not asking for me. I'm asking for my friend.
Can who?
He said, can guys be divas?
No.
Be a gentleman.
I'm sorry.
Be a gentleman.
Yeah, a gentle diva.
Be like Bobby Brown, okay?
Nah, don't be like Bobby Brown.
Man, y'all always hating on Bobby, man.
Yeah, before the Coke, Bobby was pretty cool guy. Now, after the Coke, Bobby.
King of R&B. Okay.
Bobby, you know what? We are tangent. We just went on.
I'm just saying. Bobby's a pretty average. When you can fry chicken and cocaine, that's
oh my goodness,
big accomplishment.
I mean that is. Hey, the culinary arts have been flipped on their head. So.
Yeah. I don't know how we got to talking about that. Sorry about it. Let's get back.
That's my fault, but it's all good.
Yeah, let's pull that back in. So, Janae, Miss White.
Yes.
So, what made you decide to start Girls to Divas in the first place?
Why did I start Girls to Divas? Girls to Divas, in my honest opinion, was a calling from God. It was really something that only came from God. The vision, just everything is straight from God. But just as a child, I had to go through a lot. I had some obstacles like everyone has. And because of those obstacles, because of those stressors in life, I wanted to make sure that if there were any girls out there that were going through anything similar, anything remotely close to what I was going through, I wanted them to have someone that they could talk to, someone that they can look up to. And for that reason, I started Girls to Divas. I really want our girls to know that they're cared about, that they have positive examples. They have positive examples also of what sisterhood is, because if you look on TV, especially for blacks, with sisterhood, it looks like a bunch of mess. It's cat fights. It's drinks being thrown. It's cussing. It's this. It's that. But when I link up with my girls, we don't act like that at all. We have a good time, and if we have a problem, we have this little five-minute rule, and it's dead, because we're here to have a good time and enjoy each other's company. So really showing the girls what true sisterhood looks like is really important to me, making sure that they know what they want to do with their life one day, or at least have an idea, is why I started Girls to Divas.
Okay. All right. Now, you write about, you know, TV, the relationships that black women have with each other. You know, TV, if you look at it, it's all messed up. You know, you got the Housewives of Atlanta. Every other day is some drama on that show. And you got these basketball wives. And if you let that be the example to teach younger women, young ladies, how to interact with each other, that's completely off base. So the program you got is really reversing that trend of thinking and how they interact. So that's dope.
Yes. Thank you.
So I got the next question. Yo, you always cut me off, man.
Joe, stop cutting him off, Joe.
Nah, I'm joking. Go ahead, Pat. I'm joking.
Dang, Joe. But I was going to say, that it also counters what, like, the larger narrative about black men and women together, because when you look at, like Jamie was saying, basketball wives are you know, quote-unquote horrible black women shows, as I call them. You know, like, these women are always married to some equally dense, dumb, or ignorant dude.
Yeah.
Right.
So, you know, it kind of drags the entire cultural group.
Black family.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I agree with you.
Right. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No.
We do that on this show often.
So, it's not only is it Black History Month, which is so important, of course, but it's also Valentine's Day coming up. And this month, for our workshop, we meet every month, every third Saturday of the month, and we do an enrichment workshop with our girls. And this month, we'll be discussing Black History, of course, but we're also going to bring in a couple that's married to show what black love looks like, to let them know that black love does exist, and, you know, for them to share their story, their struggles, and how they're still making it. Because I think that's important, that we have that example of what real love looks like, because we don't really have that in our community, in our black community. We don't have too many examples of that. And what made me want to do that was looking at Barack and Michelle Obama.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And the love that they have for each other and how real it is, it's just, it's crazy. And I want our girls to know that that love does exist. It's not just on TV. It's real. So,
but I think, you know, I think what you're doing, though, is a step in the right direction, because we on this show and privately, we have the conversation all the time about we understand the reality and the conditions in the black community, but we also do look at the statistics and kind of try to do our own research and see that black people are marrying each other. And but you know, black people do love each other, but like you said, we don't get a chance to see that in real life outside TV. So what you're doing is very powerful, because you're letting the kids see that black people do love each other in real life. This is some real life stuff. It's not just okay, I turn on CNBC or I'm watching Blackish or something like that. You know, because I remember doing a class over in Gaston County, the county over, and this young girl was 11 talking about, well, all men are dogs. And like, wow. Yeah. Like, and I asked her, well, have you ever had a boyfriend? She's like, no. Well, how you figure all men are dogs? Oh, because that's what my mom and my auntie say. So when you're feeding that to that next generation, she's looking for men to be that way. So what you're doing is very powerful.
Mm-hmm. True indeed.
Thank you.
All right. So with this, the Divas, the mentoring program, so naturally I would think that along the way of you developing this in your childhood, your upbringing and whatnot, a lot of women influenced you. So who are some of the women throughout history that in your family, whatever the case may be, that impacted you and really inspired you, you know, to take this step and develop this program?
Women who influenced me. Let's see. There's so many women.
Top three.
No, don't. I can't do top three. I'm going to give you the
top.
Okay, so I'll start off with my mom. My mom definitely has influenced me, and although my mom went through a lot, she had me when she was a teenager. She was doing her thing, you know, when she was younger. And she turned her life around, you know, and although she was struggling, she still found her way through prayer, you know, just believing in herself. She was able to get past all that she went through, and she's now created a better life for herself. So with just looking at my mom, I'm influenced every day, because she reminds me that it doesn't matter what you're going through, you'll get through it. You just have to keep pushing. So that's my mom. And my aunt is like my best friend, and she is like the quote guru. So all quotes that I know, for the most part, not Beyonce, all the other quotes that I know, she told it to me, and I committed it to memory. And she's just a very wise woman. So she influences me, too, every single day, because I look to her for guidance on just about everything. There's nothing that I can't call her about that she wouldn't be able to give me any type of advice on. She'll have something to say. If it's not a scripture, it's some quote that she read from a book. She always has something to say that helps me keep going. And I have my grandparents, my aunt, and all her friends, my aunt's friends. All of them are very successful women. They've been through some things, but they just kept pushing. So I use all of them as my support system, and they've influenced me, and they continue to influence me.
Okay. That's what's up. Always need, you need great examples. And when you have these great examples that help build great people, it was interesting. I was at a round table discussion last night, and the young lady said something that it would, and I loved it, because it's something that I've said in conversation, but not often enough, but how having the right people in your life sometimes helps create a great environment for people to thrive, and also a great environment for people to learn, because the environment is set up to where the resources are there. So you don't, when you, mm-hmm. if you do bump your head, it's not massive, it's not major, because you got the resources. Then you also get in the mindset that for the next generation, they need resources. They need the resources.
Right.
We don't want the next generation to think that. You know, because you know how the kids today say you're going through the struggle and you're not real. They think you're not black if you ain't struggling. Like, that, we don't want to mm-hmm. struggle. Nobody wants to struggle. No. So, right. So, when we're talking about creating that relationship between a mentor and a mentee, you know, that's a very, very, very important relationship that you have to have, because you're mm-hmm. asking somebody to open up and let you within their life. So, in your opinion, from your experience, why are mentors important to our youth, and what components are needed to create a healthy mentor-mentee relationship?
Mentors to me are important because they provide a positive impact on that youth or on anyone, because any and everyone should have a mentor, if not several mentors. A mentor provides a positive impact on your life. And for children especially, them being so young, dealing with life as a child can be very difficult, especially depending on what you're going through at home. And, you know, kids go to school every single day, but most times if they are struggling, it may be because of something that's going on at home.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that doesn't get addressed in the school setting. So they come to school with all these problems, so they can't focus, they can't concentrate. They may appear as a bully or closed in or whatever they're giving off, but it's because of what's going on at home. And I feel like if a mentor was involved in some kind of way, that mentor would be an outlet for that child. So having a mentor can provide that positive impact, not just in the school setting, but at home. And it can also provide like a 360 where that child can end up becoming a mentor one day. So then we'll always have this, you know, rotating give back thing going on. Also, mentors are important because it shows that child or that person who's being mentored that they matter and that they're not alone, and that they have someone that they can talk to and look up to. So that's why I believe that they are important. Now, a healthy mentorship is simple to me, and I feel like it just requires you to communicate, listen, be supportive, be open, and be genuine, like have a genuine interest in that person or in that child. And that's all it really takes to have a mentorship. And what people don't realize is that you don't have to reach success to be a mentor. Like, you could have went through something yesterday and you got over it, and now you are able to mentor someone else and help someone else through what they are going through. So, yeah, that's what a healthy mentorship looks like.
Okay. Well, can I ask this real quick? Because another part of mentorship, of that relationship, you know, is the involvement of the parents and your relationship with the parents. So what's the best way to keep parents involved in the mentor-mentee relationship, and how important is your relationship with the parents?
Man, so I've been doing Girls to Divas since 2011, so this is our sixth year. And through time, you know, we've had our hard times and our mess ups, but through that we were able to grow and learn from all of those experiences. So when it comes to the importance of parents, parent involvement is key. Like, the parents have to be on board. The parent or guardian has to be on board and has to understand the impact that the program could potentially have on their child if they allow their child to participate, if they are engaged as well, if they reiterate what we're teaching or what we're educating the girls on, if they reiterate that in their home, and even if they start changing some of their behaviors, the dynamics could change. So it's so important that a relationship is established with that parent. I remember a couple of years ago, every year Tallahassee has these summer pool parties, and a few years ago they allowed organizations to kind of host them, and Girl City was host one of the pool parties at Walker Ford. Mm-hmm. I think it was at Walker Ford, and it was cool. The community came out, DJ was there, they had free food, we were having a great time. The DJ played Sierra, I think he played Ain't No Way I Ride Out. He played that song. Which is a great song. I love Sierra.
Just not the environment.
In that environment with all of these kids, it was just not the right time. I look to my left, and there are two girls getting it, doing all the Sierra dance moves that they've seen on TV, which are sexual, and their mom, right in front of them, encouraging it. Like, keep going, girl. Yeah, you got it. So I walked up to the DJ and I asked the DJ to change the song, and everybody, or their mood, kind of changed. But, you know, if those two girls were in our program and I had a relationship with mom, I would have been able to say to mom, you know, we're trying to really show them that, you know, they're children, they need to stay in a child's place for one, and it's a time and place for everything. If they are into twerking, because I'm not opposed to twerking, but it's a time and place for everything. So that's a conversation I would have tried to have with their mom, but I didn't know homegirl, so, you know, I just asked them to change the music, and that was that. But my point is, it's very important that a relationship is established between the mentor and the parent, and the mentee.
Cool.
All right. Go ahead, Pat. Because I was just going to go into twerking a little bit more and see the intricacies of that. But
Go ahead.
I'm joking.
I like it. It's just not for
go
everybody.
Ahead.
Don't show everybody your moves.
That
I ain't going to lie. I'm not going to lie.
I'm sorry.
But nah.
I grew up in Liberty City, so that was the only style of dance that I knew at point.
Hey, man.
You know, so I understand. Hey. I understand twerking, but it's a time and place for everything.
There you go.
True.
Jamie said that because he won the twerk contest last week, so he's just trying to gauge the conversation.
Hey, man. Trying to get it in. You know what I mean?
So,
like,
what's been your, what would you say has been one of the most important lessons that you've learned from the kids that you've been taught?
That's a difficult question, but I do have an answer. Because you can definitely learn a lot from kids. But I would say the lesson that I didn't expect to learn was that I can dream big. Sometimes as an adult, you have these dreams and these visions, and it's just like, you know, that may be a little bit too extreme. Maybe that's not possible. But when you're having conversations with children, they dream so big, like their imagination is out of this world. So it was a reminder for me, like, hey, there's no dream that's too small, Janae. So that's one of the lessons that I learned from the divas.
Mm-hmm.
And another lesson that I learned is to stop worrying. Some kids have some things to worry about, and that's unfortunate. But the kids that don't have much to worry about, that's just living life as a child's supposed to, with no, like, stressors and no worries, they remind you that you don't need to worry about what's going on. Just enjoy life. And when you look at kids, you see them enjoying life. And sometimes I think as adults, we don't take enough time to enjoy life, and we don't take enough time to stop worrying. We worry too much. So those are the two lessons that I've learned from my lovely divas.
Okay.
A good turn up's good for everybody every now and again. I agree. I think
let me piggyback on that point, man. Some people, yeah, she brought something up that I just want to go. Some people do, like, I'm serious about a lot of things, I am, but some people need to lighten the hell up and realize all these pressures and stuff like that, that stuff can just eat away at you, and you'll be a real cynical person, and that's what it'll turn you into. Sometimes you just got to lighten up. Like, I had people, like, the Super Bowl, it was like, oh, y'all over here celebrating, watching the Super Bowl, this is it. I'm like, yo, can I get one day away from the bullshit just to kind of relax, refocus, watch a little football, last game of the season? Don't ruin this for everybody because you want to be a damn sour patch. So, occasional turn up is good every now and again. I completely agree with that. So,
of course.
I just wanted
of course. You got to live life.
Yeah, exactly. And you can't, a little bit.
You can't be too concerned about what people say either because of the way you decide to live your life.
Thank you.
Exactly.
All right.
Whew.
Exactly. I had to get it off my chest.
He felt better.
But anyway.
Like gas. It felt like gas in them. So,
in your bio, you mentioned in your past you deal with some abusive situations, relationships, et cetera. How were you able to really heal from those situations? And what experience did you gain, and how is that helping you mentor these young girls as you go out in the community? That was a hard one,
okay.
Huh? Yeah.
That is a touchy
No, I get it, yeah.
Question. When it comes to abuse, it was more so mental abuse for me, and which is the worst in my opinion. Because I feel like the mental can mess with you forever. You know?
Right.
So I said that to say this. I'm still healing.
Mm-hmm.
But I am in a much better place now than I was before. So that took time. It took prayers. It took me just talking to people about it, you know, and not being shy to tell people what I went through and why I act the way I act now, you know, and why I move the way I move now. I had to accept what I went through. I had to forgive those that were involved. So through that, I'm able to continue to heal myself. And I'm going to go to counseling. And for a while, I was opposed to counseling. I was just like, for what? I don't want to speak to a counselor. But that goes into blacks feeling like, you know, they don't need to seek counseling because people that go to counseling are crazy. But that's not the case. The profession is just as important as any other profession, and the profession exists for a reason. And, you know, I'm trying to do anything that I can to take my life to the next level. And if that means going to counseling, talking to someone, however often I need to talk to them so that my mind can be cleared and so that I can, you know, continue to chase after my dreams, then I'm doing it.
Absolutely.
And what was the second part of the question? Something dealing with the girls?
Yeah, how does that help you, you know, given your experiences, how does that, you know, the insight you can give the girls, how does that, you know, impact you and what you pass along to them?
My experiences has helped me become the woman I am today. So with that, I'm able to just share with the girls what I've been through, and that if you want more out of life, you have to be willing to be uncomfortable sometimes, and you also have to let go of behaviors that doesn't propel you, that doesn't take you to the next level. I know when I came to FAM, I was still holding on to my Dade County ways. My Dade County ways, you know, I just brought it to Tallahassee, and I was just trying to hold on to it and not let it go. I want everybody to know that I was repping 305, Liberty City, Dade County, all day, every day. I wanted everyone to know. But I had to let those behaviors go because that wasn't helping me get to my next level. So it's things like that I share with the girls, and I tell them that it's okay to fail. You have to always be humble. You're bigger than your situation. It doesn't matter what you've been through. where you come from, you can be way more than that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Now, and it is one thing you mentioned as well that I think that's pretty dope. And we talked about this on an earlier show. I don't know if you guys remember about this negative connotation on mental health in the Black community. A lot of people, you know, like you said, you go get counseling, they think you're crazy. No, it's just mental health. That's making sure your health is fine and stuff like that. So even you just sharing that story, that's going to help a lot of young ladies, you know, actually seek that help versus, you know, kind of buy into that, well, I'm not going to go get help or talk about these things because other perceptions other people having me. So to be able to have you, a successful young lady in front of them, you know, saying those things, that's going to be very impactful. So that's dope.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But also,
yeah,
I
can't continue. Sorry, I can't continue to have a clouded mind. I feel like I've done a lot with all of these stressors in my life that still exist. This clouded mind that I still have, you know, I feel like I've gone far with all of this baggage, with all of this on my mental. But I can only imagine how far I will be going once my mind is clear, once I'm focused on what matters. You know.
Absolutely.
So there's nothing wrong with seeking mental health.
Yeah, exactly. I was just going to say, I think with you sharing your story, especially to a lot of these young girls that you have, that you are able to physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally come in contact with on a regular basis and help them build themselves, they themselves will be more apt to go get counseling, being able to come in contact with someone like you because you help take the stigma away. And, you know, and we can see it within our communities when you ride down the street. Mental health mixed with alcohol and drug addiction, don't go well. And we see it all the time in our community, but we just brush it off as, well, that person a junkie, that person crazy, whatever. But if we're not dealing with mental health in a real practical way, those could be the results of it. So the things that you're bringing to the table, as well as coupling that with life skills, is going to help create a better or a generation that is more powerful, I would say.
Yes.
And cool, you know, the other side of that mental health coin is that we need more Black professionals in the mental health field. And as long as that stigma exists, there's going to be that shortfall of Black kids that are even open to that as a profession, you know. So that's another angle of it, because we do need as a community to be urging each other to go to mental health, but we also need mental health providers that understand what our communities need in terms of the services that they provide. So, you know, because of this stigma we got, you know, we're kind of screwing ourselves on both ends. Not only are we walking around crazy, but we don't have enough people in the field to even properly service the crazy people that we have, if that makes sense.
Yeah. You're right. One of my professors, shout out to Dr. Langley, I believe it was when I was getting my master's in social work. I don't remember. But he said something very interesting, and it still sticks with me to this day, that we all have a little bit of craziness in us. And I think that's so true, because everyone has been through something.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone has been through something. And everyone has been through something that they may have not addressed yet,
exactly.
Which may cause you to, you know, quote unquote, loosely using that term crazy, you know, make you go a little crazy at sometimes.
That's true.
What's the statistic? They say, 70% of people had a less than perfect childhood?
Really?
So,
I can believe that.
Wow. Wow.
And that's another thing I don't like about just people, period, but especially our people. We don't talk about our problems. So it's people going around with these same issues, but nobody's talking about it. So that person may feel like they're the only person that's going through it.
Right.
And that really sucks. On so many levels, we don't talk about anything if it's not, you know, something that's going to make us look good. But if it's anything of the past or what we're currently going through, we don't want to talk about that because we don't want to see them any other kind of way.
That's true.
Yeah, we like, I'll talk about your shit, but I won't talk about
right.
it. Right.
Right. Right.
Because I deal with mine my way. And we our coping mechanisms are not healthy. If you take this, some people use spirituality as a coping mechanism, and not as a healing, because you can use spirituality as a healing mechanism, but some people use it as a coping mechanism, as an escape, the spiritual path, the religious path, drugs, alcohol, sports, sex, all these things here that people use, money, all those things that people use instead of actually seeking help. But once again, people like you bringing this stuff to the light, it's going to help have a healthier generation, especially when it comes to mental health, and people will deal with the situation better rather than allowing it to fester and go bad the way we're doing it now. So, real quick, can you highlight some of the successes that you have had as an organization? You know, kind of brag on Girls to Divas, some of your events and things that you've done in the past, and why is Girls to Divas Mentoring Program Incorporated a program that is needed in this community?
Okay. Well, first I'll start off with why it's needed. Not just Girls to Divas, but any program that's for the youth is needed, especially in today's times, because our kids are getting lost by the second. Even in my own family, my siblings, they're lost, and they are in need of a mentoring program. So mentoring programs are needed in the community. Tallahassee specifically, I didn't know Tallahassee. Well, let me say this. I didn't know that the needs of most communities, or let's just say the needs of my community, Miami, when I was home, would be the same needs of the Tallahassee community.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so coming up to Tallahassee, I was just thinking that, okay, it's a country, they chill, you know, they're not getting into all of that. But, you know, after being here just for a few months, I realized that, you know, it doesn't matter really where you are, these issues exist in every community. So you have your dropout rates, you have kids, girls getting pregnant at a young age, you have girls that don't know what they want to do when they become adults. They're just lost. So Girls to Divas is here for that very reason, to help girls stay on track, help them stay focused, help them get to know who they are, make sure that they understand that no matter where they are in life, there's someone else that may have it a little worse off, so they must always be grateful, must always be humble. So that's why Girls to Divas exists within Tallahassee community, and we would love to spread our wings to other communities and do what we can do. And now to the successes of the program. I didn't really tell you all what Girls to Divas was about or what we do.
Go ahead.
Girls to Divas, and I already gave you the acronym, Girls to Divas Mentoring Program is a free, F-R-E-E, mentoring program for middle and high school girls. And we provide one-on-one mentoring, so all of our girls get paired up with their own mentor who they meet with on a weekly basis for at least an hour. We do enrichment workshops on a monthly basis where we go over leadership skills, life skills, social skills, entrepreneurial skills, job and college skills, and any and everything else that we could provide them with so that they can be self-sufficient. And we also do community service, if I didn't say that already, and sisterhood activities. And we're made up of seven components of transformation. And the first component is finding your inner diva, and that's all about getting to know yourself. Because before we can do anything with the girls, they have to know who they are. They have to look in the mirror and love that person that they see. So finding your inner diva is our first component. The second one is when you know better, you do better, and that's through education. So we try to educate them on any and everything that we can. Because when you know better, you do better. But if you don't know better, you can't do better. And so we can't fault you if you don't know. But now that you do know, we expect you to do better. And expect yourself to do better, too. I'll give myself away. That's our community involvement component. Just, you know, through community service, we want the girls to give themselves away to the community, the community that they live in. Embracing our civic duty. and civic responsibility, just making sure they know what their rights are as a citizen and that they vote and that they just embrace that. The next component is expressive divas, which we're just now starting to step into, so I'm really excited about this. Expressive divas is where we explore the arts, dance, step, acting, and singing, because when I was a child, my outlet was dance. I had a lot going on as a child, a lot. But when I stepped into the dance studio, all of my worries just were at the door. And I danced, and I danced, and I danced, and I was happy, and that was my outlet. So I think it's important that we give the girls an outlet. So that's Expressive Divas, and we're going to start up our step team. I'm so excited.
Yeah. Okay.
Divas make the world go round, and that's our international and globalization awareness component, just making sure that they're aware of not only what's going on in Tallahassee, but abroad. Making sure that they are being respected citizens and not littering, and that they're just being divas at all times because we help make the world go round. And the last component is moving from me to we, and that's our sisterhood component. So those are our seven components of transformation. Again, it's a free program for middle and high school girls, and we're always looking for people to come out and talk to our girls and share their story, or if they have a skill that they want to show or discuss with the girls, whatever it is, we want to shed that light on our girls. So,
That's what's up.
Oh, successes. I'm sorry. Successes. So, successes. I'm sorry. I feel like I'm
Nah, do your thing. This your stage. Do your thing.
Some of our successes would be becoming a 501c3, which is a huge success for the program because now we're recognized as a nonprofit, and we got our 501c3 status in 2015. Still being around 6 years later is a success in itself.
Right, right.
And I
right.
believe they say if you make it after 5 years, then if your business or whatever makes it for more than 5 years, then you're in for good. So we've crossed that point, and we're still here. We're impacting lives through our workshops that we provide on a monthly basis. We're impacting lives through the one-on-one mentorship. One of our mentees, she applied for a job, and she had an interview. And we had an interview workshop where we showed them how to conduct themselves in an interview. We did some questions and answers with them. And her mom wrote me and said that because of the workshop, you know, she was able to go in there and do her thing. She didn't get the job, but she knew what to do. And that's what we want them to do, to be informed, to know what it is that they need to do to get where they need to go. We've done college tours. We're doing our second college tour this year. We just out here working. We keep ourselves involved in everything. Like Patrick said, we helped out with Tallahassee to Flint, and we helped raise a lot of monies, and we helped gather water bottles, send to Flint. So we're just out here working, just out here trying to impact lives, and we're a success. We're a success. We're impacting girls, and if we only impact one girl, we've done our job.
Yes, ma'am. If you don't know, now you know. www.girls2divas.org. www.girls2divas.org. So this is the point of the show. Well, we got this world famous question that we ask everybody. Nobody escapes this question. Well, maybe a couple of times, but nobody escapes this question, especially the people that we feel like we want to hear this answer from. So this Patrick favorite question, and we always set off a little something like this.
So, if you, you know, I started doing that only because the Quiet Storm did it when he was impersonating me.
Hey, shout out to the Quiet Storm.
So, if you were the all-powerful, all-able, capable ruler, czar, empress, pharaoh, goddess of the black community. What would you change, and what would your message to the people be?
What would I change? I would require all families, all my black people everywhere, to get in a room and hash things out with their family members that they have issues with, and, you know, walk out of the room loving each other, supporting each other, and encouraging each other, and that way we can rebuild our communities. Because it starts in the family, you know? We have broken families, so we have broken communities. But if the families are functioning as they're supposed to, then that will spill out into the community. So that would be what I would want to say. And you said my message? That would be my message.
It's all good. Get in that room. Get in that room and get right. But we got to, though. I mean, you know, we often hear, you know, that we need to have a conversation about race. I don't necessarily totally agree with the conversation about race. I think us as black people, more importantly, we need to have an intra-racial conversation amongst ourselves, because I just think it's kind of unproductive to try to build relationships with others while you ignoring your broken relationships. And I'm not saying we cannot build with others, but I think it's more important to take care of home first, because when you have that foundation at home is together, you will be more of an ally to others. And we just need that within our lives, that fullness, that everything. So, you know, but hey,
yeah.
Janae White, everybody, Janae White, y'all give it up for Miss Janae White.
Yeah. Thank you, Freedom Train.
Yeah, but before we wrap this up, now, before we wrap this up, I know I said your website a couple of times, but where, besides your website, www.girls2divas.org, where else can people connect with you at?
You can connect on our Instagram page, girls2divas_mentoring. You can check us out on Facebook at girls2divas mentoring program /Tallahassee. And that slash is because we are going to spread our wings. Yes, yes, we're going to spread our wings. And you can call me, of course, 305-304-7701.
305-304-7701. Yep, 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 yep. And any last words before we wrap this up that you want to say to the people?
Yes, thank you, Freedom Train. Thank you, Tallahassee, for your support. Thank you, board members. Thank you, mentors. Thank you, Pastor Price, for allowing us to be housed at Philadelphia Primitive Baptist Church. And if you are interested in becoming a mentor, which our mentors are any woman who is an adult that cares about our youth, she can apply. So just visit our website. If you're interested in having your daughter, cousin, niece, best friend's friend, whoever, to be a part of the program as a mentee who is in middle school or high school, we would love to have her. Visit our website. If you're interested in being a speaker at our workshop, or if you just want to volunteer, you don't have time to fully commit as a mentor, hit up the website. And thank you. That's it.
Yeah. One more time for Ms. Janae White and Girls to Divas. Remember, visit her website at www.girls2divas.com. And, you know, thank you. Thank you for riding on the Freedom Train with us. And we look forward to having you on again in the future, especially when you have one of the big events. You got to come back in and talk about one of your events. So.
Yes, yes.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. So thank you once again, and we'll see you later.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Must be love on the brain. Y'all ain't know I can sing, huh?
Young Joe?
Huh?
You fighting a losing battle with your gum.
Hey, man, I won, okay? And it must be love on the brain. Don't be jealous because I can sing and you can't.
That's true.
That's true, yeah. Don't just agree with him before he starts singing again.
Hey, forget y'all.
That's true, yep.
You're right, though.
Hey, man, forget y'all.
Oh.
Girls, the divas, get it in. So make sure y'all support. Go to the website, support. So.
I went to the website while she was on the air.
It was cool. It's
there
cool.
You go.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Nah, she's legit, man. It's a nice, positive thing, and that's definitely something a lot of communities can lead. Because a lot of times, a lot of mentoring programs, we'll focus just on the boys. And I'll be quite honest, it's sometimes hard-pressed to find actual good female mentoring programs where, you know, the young ladies can get up there and see, you know, they'll do little, you know, one, usually it's church-related or something like that. But what she's doing, I think that's actually pretty dope, man. I think because we focus on the boys so much, rightfully so, you know, but we also got to get that love to our young ladies out here in the community. They need that same amount of love we give our boys. So that's what she's doing is pretty dope.
Yep. So, man, you know, attacking it, we got to mention the black community that we support organizations like this one. We often are out saying, well, nobody's doing this for the kids. Nobody's doing that, man. It's people with boots on the ground doing things. So sometimes you have to get out of your house and get into the streets and find out what people are doing. Because if you don't know what's going on in your community, if you're the one that's saying nobody's doing nothing, that's because you're doing nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So,
true.
Y'all fellas got any parting shots? Man, we got a little thunderstorm warning. Time to have a little tornado warning here. So.
Man, it's so much going on, man. We got to do one of these shows. We just recap the whole last 20 days. It's been a blitz, man. So still trying to soak it all in, fellas.
Yes, sir. Yes,
I've been
sir,
in my
yes,
bubble,
sir.
So I don't know what nobody got going
I've been,
on.
I'm about to go in my bubble. Like, I'm really about to because my brains are, like, about to be toast. So I got to go into a bubble here eventually. But it's crazy out in these streets, B.
I know, right? Man, you know, with that being said, fellas, man, great show once again. You know how we do. I appreciate y'all for riding with me on this train. Me and my crazy ideas, y'all with y'all crazy ideas. You know what I'm saying? I got my shirt off. It's all good. And y'all be hating, though. Don't be getting quiet when I say I got my shirt off.
Man, you ain't getting no applause for that. No applause.
Hey, man, in the little shirt, where my applause at? No, that's messed up.
Hey, you got nothing.
Hey, man. Y'all crazy, man. But y'all know how we do it, man. It's the Freedom Train. I'm Joseph Ward. He's Patrick Irvin. He's Jamie Basham. And we try to do our best to, huh?
No, I just said what up. You said my name, so I said what up.
We try to do
God
our best
damn,
to make
Joseph,
sure the community. Hey, man. Hey, we try the best. To make sure people know what's going on in the community and to be their best. So once again, say like we said, remember, a ship that sails backwards never sees the sunrise. Peace.